sir. You might think, man, he looks awfully goofy up there when he's worshiping, all smiling and closing his eyes and all happy. Well, I'll tell you what, when you have a 357 Magnum, when you're 17 years old, in your mouth with a hammer cocked, and the Lord gives you a vision and saves your life, you can't help but just love him. Praise God. And it's not fake. It's not a show. I am in love with Jesus, and I am not ashamed of it. Praise God. I just love him so much. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to James chapter 1. Glory to God. He is awesome. Praise his name. Oh, man, I'm so glad my finger didn't twitch or something. Praise God. He is so good. Oh, isn't it interesting, though, that the devil back then was telling me that my life was worthless and that there was no point in living and that the best thing for me to do would be to kill myself. Yet the whole time the truth was, I was supposed to get married and have two churches with two babies that are in the nursery that are just the light of my life. Praise God. That was the truth of what was supposed to happen. But at the time, the lies were, it's over for you. Take your life. But there was, why? He was trying to keep me from what was ahead. Don't believe his lies that he's telling you. He's the father of lies. Believe the word of God. The word says there's a hope and a future for you. The word says there's help. The word says there's a better tomorrow. Praise God. Devil, you're a liar. We don't believe you. He's a moron, right? Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're going to do today. Lord, we could already go home and say, that was good. That was good right there. Just exposing the lies of the enemy. We just bless you, Father. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, hit bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. What I mean by that, Lord, is speak through me that I may say something that hits home with everybody, that strikes a chord in their heart, Father God. That's exactly what they need to hear this morning, that enables them to walk out of here blessed, more filled with glory, and Father, just changed into more of the image of you. And Father, you can only take a room full of people. Everybody has different needs and different wants and different questions and different circumstances in their life. Only you can take a room full of people and hit bullseyes in every single one of their hearts. So we thank you for that supernatural occurrence today. It will happen. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if many, I think this is kind of a general statement, but of course my job as a pastor is to help people. And so that's the way I preach. And that's the way the Lord has led me to pastor, is to preach on a level where we can get something practical every single time we get together that's going to change your life. You know, I don't want to be up here and major on sensationalism and, speculation and something that's just going to try to woo you and wow you. I want you bettered. I want you helped. And, you'll notice you don't hear your pastor preaching a lot on the book of Revelation in the end days. Now, is that the Bible? Absolutely. And you know, there is some place there for studying that kind of stuff, and there are people that major in that kind of stuff. But you know, my job's to do my job. My job's to stay in my lane. I have a little bit of a ring up here. My job's to stay in my lane. And majority of that stuff in the book of Revelation doesn't even pertain to you anyways. You won't even be here for the majority of it. You'll be in heaven. But I'm just using that as an example where I just like to preach where people live day to day. That's just my calling. I know it is. It's to help people be more successful in life, in their family, in their relationships. Help them to be more successful Christians. Help them to be better for the kingdom of God. Help them to live more prosperous, to live a more faith-filled life, more healthy. Praise God. And so that's where I preach. That's my job, to stay in my lane, and other people do other things. And that's what we're going to do here. I want to preach where you live. Yeah. No, I don't mean at your house. You don't want me there. Praise God. But I eat a lot. Your grocery bill would go up. And I don't mean preach that where, I mean preach where you live is what you're going through and what you're dealing with and how to get out of that situation and how to better that thing. And so that's my job. And today, I'll say this with confidence. I know people that have done exactly what I've told them to do. And of course, my wisdom and my counsel is only from the Word of God. I wouldn't know how to tell you really anything to do. I could teach you how to field a ground ball. could teach you how to shoot a bow and where you maybe should hang a tree stand. I could do some of those things for you, but those things aren't really going to better you too much in life. But if I can teach you the Word of God, I can change your life. And I've had people that absolutely will take what I say to heart and do what I've told them to do, and their lives change. Now, that's not praise to me. I told someone last night, came up to me, "Oh, Pastor, that was just so wonderful." I said, "Listen, I'm just a professional plagiarizer. It's already in here. I just repeat what it says. I have the easiest job in the world. If I mess this up, I can't do anything." And so I just tell them that don't praise me. So when I say that, that's not me patting myself on the back, but the things that I tell you from the Word, if you'll do them, if you'll actually do them, like when I tell people, pray this, if you'll pray, it'll change your life. If you say this, if you actually say it, it'll change your life. I think about Brandy at the Olean Church. I had the stroke. I said, say this every day. Say this every day. Of course, I got her faith built up in the area of healing. And I said, say this every day. The power of God's working in my life and I will have a complete healing from this. She said it every day and it came to pass. Now, some people just boo right over their head. Tell people, pray the Ephesian prayers for this person. And they, oh, right over their head. Well, if you'll do some of those things, if you'll walk in some of those things, well, today's one of those messages that if you do it, it'll spare you some things. It'll spare you some things. You know, there's certain parts of the country that just can't avoid different types of weather patterns. For example, you know, the East Coast, pretty much every year there's going to be some kind of a hurricane warning, hurricane watch, and there's different things that people can prep for that in the long term, different plans that they can have, maybe places they can go, things they can do to their house, maybe have some plywood or some, there's different things now for to board up your house and stuff like that, and things that they could have on hand that would help, maybe having some extra supplies for an area like that. But also there's meteorologists, right, that can tell people sometimes when a major storm's coming, usually there's enough warning to do something about it, right? That something's coming, you can get up, move, you can do some things in your house, you can protect yourself and be safe, and we're thankful for those things. Well, today I'm a spiritual meteorologist. I am. I'm a spiritual meteorologist today because I'm here to tell you storms are coming. Oh, thanks for that. Really glad I came. Really glad I came. But storms are coming. And I can tell you today how to temper those things, how to come out of those things better, how to come out of those things blessed, how to come out of those things not with your life shattered and broken and ruined and having to pick up all the pieces. That's not the way God intends it to be for people. But what am I talking about? Well, first of all, look in James chapter 1 in verse 2, spiritual meteorologist today. And I'm going to teach you what you can do now before the storm. Now, you might be in a storm now, and this will help you. But just so you know, we'll see this, that this will teach you to prepare for when the storm comes. You see, when the hurricane hits, that's not the time to go buy the plywood to board up the windows. That's not the time to make sure you have extra water. That's not the time when the storm hits to get in your vehicle and start driving north or up the interstate to go somewhere. No, you should have done that. You should have prepared for that ahead of time. And a lot of people are so caught off guard when the storm hits. That's not the time to get in faith. That's not the time to start doing what God wants you to do. So we're going to prepare you here today. But look what it says in James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, now pay attention when I read this up on the screen. My brethren, count it all joy if.
No.
Oh. When you fall into diverse temptations. Well, that means various sorts or different types of trials is what that means. And more modern translations say that in there. My brethren, count it joy when you fall. Not if you fall. Not you maybe will fall. Not if you're lucky, you'll escape it. No, he's telling you it's going to happen.
That's right.
You can't avoid various tests and trials as long as you are a human being living in this earth suit called a body, living on this planet. You will face various tests and trials. Jesus said in John 16:33, just to kind of give you a mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And this isn't doom or gloom today. This is lift up your eyes and do something about your life so when the storm hits, you're prepared. Praise God. John 16:33, he said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you might. Come on. In the world you might. No. In the world you shall. You shall have tribulation. What is that talking about? Tests and trials. In the world you shall have, and in the world you will fall into various tests or trials. Why? You live in a planet dominated by the devil. You live in a world dominated by the devil. Lots of people serving the devil. Lots of people motivated by the devil, causing you trouble, causing you a hard time. Devil try to trip you up. So as long as you live, there's going to be snares out there. There's going to be tests and trials that come your way to steal your joy, rob your peace, rob your finances, rob your health, rob your life. It's inevitable. I'll tell you what, most meteorologists get it wrong all the time. I am 100% right today. I would make a good meteorologist because the storm will come. The storm will come. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 7 about being the doer of the word? He said that the storms come. He said they come to the person doing the word and the person not doing the word. But the difference is one person can stand during the storm, one person will fall. Well, I want to stand. If they're coming, I want to be prepared. If I can't stop it, if I can't stop the storm, then it's important that I respond the right way when the storm comes. And see, this is what you need to know. This is where I see people dropping it, the ball all the time. Your response matters in the storm. How you respond determines the outcome. It does. How you respond determines the outcome. It's amazing. I can preach a whole series on faith. I could preach a series today and people will amen me and they'll shout and they'll be happy and excited. And then all of a sudden, spiritually, the storm will start coming to life. Little raindrops will start falling. The lightning will start. The thunder will start booming. Right? The winds will start blowing. And boy, the look on people's faces is like deer in the headlights. What's happening to me? What's going on? I can't believe this is happening to me. They turn their happy into sad. They turn their joy into grumble. They turn their skipping their step into an Eeyore walk. One of these. That's what people do. That's not the right response. And I want to show you in Numbers 13:26 about your response. Because we need to get you to the place that when the storm comes, it doesn't rock your world. It doesn't shake you to the core. It doesn't make you tremble. It doesn't make you lose your confession. It doesn't make you, what I want to say is lose your faith, really. Even if you don't walk away from Jesus, I'm talking about being in faith. The Bible says examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith or not. It's good to find out, am I a faith person or not? Amen. If you're not, you're in trouble.
That's right.
You're in trouble. Praise God. Jeff was saying when I get excited, my voice goes high. I don't know why it does that. I don't do it on purpose. It just does it. There it goes again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a great Mickey Mouse impersonation, but maybe we'll pull that out someday. Numbers 13 and verse, I mean, you can kind of hear where it would go, you know, right there. Numbers 13, verse 26. Now, let me give you context of this. In Numbers 13, in the beginning of the chapter, the Lord said, I've given you the promised land. He said, send out spies and check it out. So they sent out 12, didn't they? Well, Moses sent out 12 spies, and look what it says in verse 26. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron. Who? They're talking about the spies. The 12 spies that went out into the land that God said they could have. They went out and looked at it, and now they came back to report it. And to the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Now notice this. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites and the Termites. I added that. Dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So here's what happened is God said they could have something. Well, God has said you can have something. He says you can have financial. He says you can have heaven on earth. You know what heaven on earth is? Financial bliss. Physical bliss. Being healthy, being whole in your mind and in your body and in your finances. Your kids serving God. Your business is flourishing and thriving. Your personal life flourishing and thriving. That's what heaven on earth. Isn't God says you can have that? But see, these storms come to try to take you from those things. And so God said to them here, Here is this land I'm giving you. Now remember, they just came out of under the hand of Pharaoh. They just came out of the land of Egypt. So for God to offer them a land that flowed with milk and honey, the grapes were so big, they had to have people, more than one person, carry them on a big pole. The clusters were that big. That's the fruit of that land, how wonderful it was. It was wonderful. And so to them, that was the most wonderful thing ever. A land we can go that's wonderful and build our lives and raise our families. And God said they can have it. So they were excited. And Moses says, go check it out. So they go check it out. And all of a sudden the storms hit.
Yeah, come on.
Just like when God says you can have healing and all of a sudden symptoms show up in your body and the doctor's report goes a little bit negative. Just like when God says you can be blessed and all of a sudden something breaks down or a bill comes that you can't pay for. Well, now you're in it.
Yeah.
Now you're in the storm. Now what are you going to do when you're in that storm? Because they got into the storm and they reported what happened. Now, it wasn't wrong for them to say, you know what? The cities are walled. There's all these people there. There's strong cities. We were like grasshoppers in their sight, they said in down the road here a little bit. That's not wrong for them to report that. But then go on what Caleb said in verse 30. Now, Caleb was one of the spies sent out. Caleb was in the same storm that they were in, that the other 11 were in. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now notice this. But the men that went up with him, the other 10, because Joshua was one of the 12 and he was on Caleb's side, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. Well, isn't that funny? How did God not know that? That silly God telling them that was theirs and not the whole time they were going to be overtaken. I'll tell you, what a loser. God knew he was talking about. They could well overtake what was there. And they brought up an evil, verse 32, report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. Why didn't God know? What was wrong with him? He must have had a bad night or something. Eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come unto the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Verse chapter 14. And all the congregation, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the test, in the midst of a trial and a circumstance, a various trial that the Bible says you will fall in, you shall have tribulation. In the midst of those things that came to steal them and to rock them from the place that God had them, they lifted up their voice that night and they cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured or complained against Moses, their leader, and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt. Basically saying, we would have rather died in the land of Egypt. Or would God that we had have died in the wilderness. They came out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness, and now they were going to go into the promised land. And wherefore has the Lord, listen to how bad they got. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now you talk about a stupid attack. They just saw the Red Sea part to escape their enemies. They saw bread fall from heaven. They saw water turn from a rock. All these miracles. And here they are now saying, God's brought us here to be killed. Well, if God wanted you killed, he wouldn't have parted the Red Sea. Or when you were walking down the middle of it, he would have flooded you and drowned you out. Talk about a stupid attack. But I see stupid attacks all the time. Are you guilty of a stupid attack? I know if you've had one. I got your number. I know. I've had them too. Right? You're going along, you're walking in the blessings, you're learning about the things of God, finding out what a wonderful life it can be, and then all of a sudden the storm hits. All of a sudden the storm hits, right? Praise God. And your response matters. We know it matters because Caleb and Joshua in that storm, in the same storm, they responded different, didn't they? They said, we got this, and they were the only ones out of those people that got to see that land that God promised them. So your response matters. Of course, I'll tell a different portion of this. Of course, you all know most of you know, I should say, because I tell it all the time, and I don't mind doing so. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But when the Lord told me to leave the full-time job I had at Walker Farms there, he said, start the church in South Dayton and stay home with your son. Well, of course, you know, we did that. It put us $1,200 short every month, $2,000 with gas and miscellaneous things and groceries. So we were $2,000 short every month doing the will of God. Well, I knew when I had pretty much gotten out of faith and went to Azteca there in Fredonia and had a meeting with my pastor and pretty much begged him for a salary. I told him, you know, hey, when my church gets big enough, we'll pay you back. We'll keep a tab and everything. But hey, I got a brand new baby here, and I'm leaving my job to do this. And God forbids me from getting a third shift job. And, you know, I'm already working two jobs. Stay-at-home dad, that's a job. And then work at a church, that's a job. That's two full-time jobs there. And I would have just absolutely hindered the church and everything. And so I couldn't do that. So I asked for a salary. And my pastor, I told you the story. I was in a service one Sunday morning in the front row. And after service was over, he dismissed the people. He said, Pastor Mike, this was the Sunday after I had a meeting with him at Azteca. He said, come on up here. He opened his Bible. He's flipping through it. He pointed to that verse. He said, read that verse. And he walked away. I said, this ought to be good. Something special from my pastor. Calling me up. Nobody else. I read it. And it was when Jesus told the disciples, when I sent you out with nothing. I said, got my answer. I got my answer. Now, I'm not making fun of her because I wanted to do this. I told her, she cried. I wanted to cry. I wanted to cry real bad. But I knew that the only way my rear is going to be saved in this is how I respond. And my pastor told me, if I give you a salary, it'll ruin you. And you are going to have to learn faith. And when you preach faith, you will not be an echo. You will be someone that's went through it, that knows how to do it, that can show people. And he knew. It was basically him telling me, you're going to sink or you're going to swim. And it's going to depend on you, son. Not me, not God. It depended on what we did from that point on. And so from that point on, I made sure to do the right thing and be in the right response. Because the wrong response doesn't get you anywhere. It's kind of fun sometimes to cry because it just feels good to complain. Doesn't it just feel good? That's the nature of the human body and things like that. Just to grumble, it just sometimes feels good, but it gets you nowhere. It'll get you nowhere. That's why I tell people, I remember there was a couple that had I don't want to say an unwanted pregnancy. It was a surprise that they didn't want another baby, and it was just such a surprise, and it shocked the heck out of them. I mean, shocked them to the core. I'm talking blubbering tears and that kind of crying, you know. And I said, listen, I get it. But you know what? What's the old saying? No use of crying over spilt milk. It's done. The best thing you can do for you, the mom, and that baby is get into faith ASAP. What's done is done. Listen, I'm not getting a salary and I'm not allowed to get a job. What's done is done. I better get in faith. It does no good to moan and groan, talk bad about my pastor. How could he do this to me? It does no good. I need to get into the right response. They were in the wrong response, and we see they were denied. They were denied. So I want to help you get the right response. Now here's what I want to tell you. Your response will be determined by your preparation.
That's good.
How you take this message today and what you do with this message today, when the storm comes, the next storm that comes, will be determined by how you prepare from this point on.
Amen.
The meteorologist can tell you, oh yeah, you know what? In about 6 or 7 days, that thing's going to hit the coast and it's going to rock us. And you can sit there and do nothing with it. You can leave your windows unboarded up and leave everything and not get extra supplies and not make arrangements for your family to go somewhere. And that storm can hit and you're going to suffer like other people won't suffer. Or you can start doing something about it.
That's right.
Storm's coming. It will hit the coast of your life.
But
praise God, it doesn't have to take us out.
Amen.
Praise God, we can actually come out of that thing stronger and better. Glory to God. And let me just say this for those of you. There's, you know, sometimes there's people that aren't very churched. What do I mean by that? They haven't been in church very much. They're brand new. What I'm trying to tell you is that you're going to get storms too, but a life with God is a life that will help you be victorious. It's a life that will help you overcome. There is nothing great. Like if you're in there and you're hearing this for the first time, you are in the best place you could ever be this morning. Because you're finding out right now that no matter what, for the rest of your life, no matter what comes your way, you have an answer. You have help. Praise God. God is good. Praise the Lord. Your response will be determined by your preparation. Go to Hosea 4 and verse 6. Your response will be determined by your preparation. And we know your response is everything.
Amen.
Hosea 4 and verse 6. Praise God. We're only going to look at the first part of that verse, but it is one of the most telling verses in the whole Bible. My people are destroyed for lack of money. My people are destroyed for lack of health. My people are destroyed for lack of the country they were born in. My people are destroyed for the lack, for the wrong, being born in the wrong family, with the wrong last name, in the wrong part of town, with the wrong genes physically that run through the body in our family. No. My people are destroyed. That is a heavy word. Not just hindered a little bit, not just stubbing their toes, not just a little bit of a bump in the road, destroyed, taken out, wiped out for a lack of knowledge. Isn't that amazing? Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. A lack of knowledge. So we could say it this way. When tests and trials come that take people out, it wasn't the test or trial that was able to take them out. It was what they knew or didn't know that was allowed to take them out. I thought it was funny that in school, I would take the same test as some of the girls across from me and some of the guys across from me, and they'd get hundreds, and I'd just barely pass that thing. And I'd think, am I getting a different test? Is the teacher just not happy with me and giving me the hard version? Same test. But somebody knew a little bit more than me, and they got a different grade on that test. Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Glory to God. I was just a dummy. I didn't know anything. Praise God. Oh, Lord, you love me so much. Anyways, what you know or don't know. Now, I want to bring you to two verses, and we're going to go downward the downward slope to finish this thing off. Daniel 11, in verse 32, and also Job. We'll go to Daniel 11 first. Daniel's towards the back of the... Actually, it's right before Hosea. It's towards the back of the... Bible there, right, the book right before Hosea. Daniel 11. So what you know matters, huh? Amen. I guess ignorance isn't bliss anymore. Ignorance is dangerous. Yeah. Ignorance is deadly. Yeah. Sure is. Amen. Daniel 11, verse 32. And such do as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know... Well, that know is just a root word for the word knowledge, right? The people that know are the people that have knowledge and do know or have knowledge about their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. In the test or trial, it's good to be strong. Yeah. What is the way that you get strong? By knowing God, knowing Him. Have a knowledge about Him. Go to Job 22. Job is the book right before the book of Psalms, Job 22, and verse 21. Acquaint now yourself with who? Him. And look at the result. And be at peace. What's he saying? Knowing God. Thereby, or the result of acquainting yourself with Him and knowing Him. See, when you acquaint yourself with somebody, you come to know them. Yeah. Thereby good shall come unto you. I have to just say this because I believe it's the truth. There are people in churches all over America, maybe even in some people in our churches, that are just here for... I don't even know what the reason would be that. Don't know anything about God. Don't care to know anything about God. Are just kind of there to pass the time to put on a show or something. And let me just tell you something. It's not doing you any good. Because just the act of coming here will not save you in the storm. Right. Just the act of being a good person get rocked all the time. Yeah. Good people get destroyed and their lives ravaged all the time. Yeah. You see, you don't get what you deserve in life. You get what you believe for. Amen. You see, why knowledge is so important is because knowledge births something. Knowledge births faith. Faith is birthed out of knowledge. Or you could say it this way, knowledge gives birth to faith. Faith doesn't happen without knowledge first. Once you get knowledge of something, then you can have faith for something. You can't have faith for something you don't know. So it all starts with knowledge. Why the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because when they don't have knowledge, they don't have faith. When they don't have faith, they don't overcome. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Church attendance. No. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Being a nice, sweet person. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Your good deeds outweighing your bad. No. The victory that overcomes the world is your faith. Your faith will determine whether you succeed or whether you fail. Not how good you are, not how sweet you are, not how much you come to church. Your faith will determine if the storm subsides or just absolutely wrecks you. And you will never have faith without knowledge. And the Bible says, acquaint or get to know God and you'll be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto yours. Come unto you. Now let me ask you a question. Are you ready to do some self-searching here tonight, today? You don't have to respond out loud. I'm asking you not to respond out loud. Keep it to yourself. But let's ask ourselves a few questions. And we'll find out how well we know God. Okay? We'll find out how well we know God. We're going to find out today. Let me ask you a few questions. If your income stopped today or was drastically cut today in half or by more with no hopes of it recovering or no hopes of it coming back, what would your response be? Don't answer. Don't answer. Keep it to yourself. What would your response be? Would it be one of, would your smile change? Would your joy go down the tubes? Would your walk turn into a mope? Would you start complaining? What would it be? Ask yourself that question, because that determines how well you know God. It does. Let me ask you another one. If something major, now see, if you're one of those people that say, man, I'd be rocked, don't beat yourself up. This is why we're preaching this. To get you to the place where when the storm comes, you won't be shaken. If something in your life major happened that you didn't all of a sudden have the money for, vehicle breaks down, something happens in your home, the washer dryer goes out, car blows up, engine blows, I don't know, fill in the blank for whatever it is for your life. If that happens in your life, what's your response? Does your happy go to sad? Does your shout go to grumble? What is, I don't know. But that will determine, that tells you how well you know God. Because if your response isn't the same of, glory to God, it's going to be all right. Glory to God, He's got a way for me. Glory to God, it'll be better than it ever was before. If it's not that, you don't know God. You might know Him a little bit, but you don't know Him to the measure you need to know Him. If a negative report came from the doctor concerning your body, what would your response be? Would it be all of a sudden tremble and fear and worry? Would it be sadness? Would it be despair? Would it be, oh my gosh, call everybody and complain and tell them I'm not going to make it and this is going to happen to me? If that's your response, you don't know God. You don't know God. I think we could all really kind of examine ourselves and say, what would it be that would rock my world and get me out of faith? There ought to be nothing that moves you. You say, Pastor, that is a little bold for you to say that. I know somebody that went through this. I know somebody that went through that. And you don't know what I'm going through. Well, don't take my word for it. Take Jesus's. Because he was on a boat with professional fishermen who thought that the storm that came in their life was going to kill them. They said, Master, wake the heck up. We're dying, don't you care? They thought they were as good as dead and they were going to him to save their life. They were in the worst. Now, most trials you encounter are not life-threatening. Some of them may be. Some physical things, some situations may be life-threatening. But most of the financial things you go through are not as bad as a life-threatening trial. Let's be honest. Most of the physical things you encounter are not as bad as somebody that could lose their life. Right now, you might face things like that, but let's just be honest. Most of the things we face, our life is not on the line. But even if it is, Jesus didn't say, well, this is the worst thing you could ever go through. I sympathize with you. He said, what is your problem? He said, where is your faith? How is it you are so fearful? Where is your faith? He gave them no room at all. The level of severity of the trial Jesus was not okay with them being a little worried, with being a little shaken, with being a little down, with being a little complaining. He wasn't okay with it. Why? Not because he's insensitive, because he knows God cannot work with that. That's the whole thing. It's not God withholding. It's God being obedient and faithful to his word. He can only go where faith brings him. And Jesus is saying, I know it's bad. I know it's horrible. I know it looks like you're not going to make it from this. But if you want God to show up in this boat, you better change your response, boys. And if you want God to show up in your life, you better change your stinking response. And the only way you're going to do that is until you finally acquaint yourself with God and get to know him. That you know. See, all of a sudden they forgot who was in the boat with them. They had God in the boat with them. Until you get to the place, when you know God, you know there ain't nothing. There ain't a demon, there ain't a bill, there ain't a sickness on earth that can move me from my place when you know God.
Amen.
Acquaint now yourself with him and be at peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to know him more. Because when you start to know him, what do I mean know God? Know who he is. Know about his attributes. Know about his goodness. Know that he's for you. Know that he loves you. Know that he wants to heal you. Know that he wants to forgive you. Know that he wants to bless you. Know that he's got a hope for you. Know that he's got protection for you. Know that he's got a future for you. When you start to know those things, faith rises up on the inside of you. And when the storm hits, your response is, hey, wait a minute. I know God. I know this doesn't belong in my life. I know what he wants for me. Remember the man that came to him in Matthew chapter 8 said, Lord, if you're willing, you'll heal me. And Jesus said, "We change your words, boy, I am willing." Yeah. He knew God could. It's not enough to know God can.
Yeah.
But when you know him, you know he will.
Amen.
You know he will. Praise God. Go to Psalm 23. We're almost done. Psalm 23. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to do? And I'll tell you at the end what you need to do to batten up the hatches. We'll always leave you with homework and what to do. And some people, I'm going to tell you right now, because the Bible says there'll be those that'll just hear it and forget it. Some of you will go out and do this word and it'll pay off for you.
Amen.
And some people, I'm not going to speak it over this church, but I'm just going to say some people. Some people will hear it and never do a thing about this. And they'll just wait. And when the storm comes, they'll be scrambling. They'll be scrambling. And they'll be in fear and they'll be fretting. And their face will turn upside down. And they'll be grumpy and complaining and moaning. I say, you don't know God.
That's right.
You don't know God. Praise the Lord. When have you ever seen me with a long face come in here? Except when people park in our parking lot that aren't supposed to be there. That makes me mad. Because for I've warned and warned and been so sweet and so sweet. My sweetness is going down the toilet when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm kind of joking. Kind of. But when have you ever seen me with a long face? It's not because I'm faking it. It's because I know. I've spent time getting to know him. I know no matter what comes across my plate, I'm winning.
Amen.
I'm winning. Yeah. We're going to be okay. And not only just okay, we're going to be better. And I know my response is everything. I learned it back in 2010. Psalm 23 in verse 1. Now here's what you're going to see. Psalm 23 is a picture of somebody that absolutely knows who God is. We put Psalm 23 on blankets. And doilies, and you know, picture frames. Psalm 23 is a faith chapter. It is a picture of somebody that knows God. King David, greatest king Israel ever had. Listen to what he says. Listen to the knowledge that he has of his God and how personal he makes God. The Lord is, oh, the Lord is. You can't say the Lord is until you know he is. He knew he is. The Lord is my. Not the pastors, not the traveling minister, not just Billy Graham's. He's my shepherd.
Amen.
Mine. Yeah. And I shall not want. That word in the Hebrew means I shall not lack.
Yeah, that's right.
I shall not be in poverty.
Amen.
Why? Because he knew the Lord, who the Lord, when you know the Lord, all that encompasses him, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's Jehovah Nissi, the God of victory. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. All the silver and gold are his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when he says the Lord is, he knows the riches of heaven that are backing him up. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Do you know that the Lord, if you did know that, He wouldn't complain so much when the bills come, when it doesn't look like enough in the checkbook to pay your bills. You wouldn't change your demeanor. You wouldn't get grumpy. Yeah, but you don't know. I'm saying that generally, not picking on you. Look what He says in verse 2. He makes me, to lie down in the briars and the brambles. Is bramble even a word? I don't even know what a bramble is. It sounded good. Briars and the brambles. Does anybody know if a bramble's real? It's real? I'm so smart. I knew that all along. Just seeing if you did. Glory to God. He makes me to lie down in the what? Green pastures. He leads me beside the what? Still waters. Glory to God. God's not leading you into your storm. He's not bringing your storm. He's walking you beside the still waters, the green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Look what David says in verse 4. He says, yay. What he's saying in verse 4 is what we're talking about at the beginning. Yes, I'm going to face the storms. Yes, the trials and the tests are going to come. Doesn't the Bible say many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all? Many are the afflictions, but you're delivered out of them all. Look what it says. Yes, though I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice he said, I'm not camping out there. I'm not setting up shop there. I'm not going to start a business there. If you're in a position for an extended amount of time in the valley of the shadow of death, you better start checking up on some things. You're not supposed to stay there. You're supposed to walk through it. I'll tell you, if things aren't changing for me, I mean, I know there's a patient side and you need to follow your heart on things. Some things take longer to manifest. But I'm talking about crisis and things that come and super. If I'm just in that nonstop, I'm wondering what am I doing wrong? Because I'm supposed to walk through this thing. I'm not supposed to live here for years. Some people live in the valley of the shadow of death for years. Yeah, they built their house there, man. They got a swing set for their kids there. And they're just going, we're going to stay right here. Why? Walk through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Look at this. In the greatest tests and trials, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
Why though? For You are with me.
Praise God.
Don't you know God's in the boat with you?
Yeah.
If you're grumpy and grumbling and fearful and worried and fretting and depressed, you don't know that God's with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I love the correlation. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You want goodness and mercy to follow all the days of your life? You better plant yourself in the house of the Lord. Psalm 92 verse 13 says, they that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And He said, goodness and mercy will follow me. And connected to that, I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Praise God. If you don't got a church, get one. You don't got a pastor, get one. Praise God. You want goodness and mercy to follow you around? That's what you're going to have to do. Praise the Lord. But notice David. That's a picture of somebody that knew God. He knew Him. He acquainted himself with God, now be at peace. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. David did exploits. There's no way you stand before Goliath as a teenage boy, not skilled in the art of war, against a war champion who has the armor, who just is probably double in size as you, who all the whole armies of the people that you're on the side of are terrified of this guy. There's no way you stand there in the midst of that and say, I'm going to cut his head off unless you know God.
Amen.
And we know He knows God because of His response. He said, who is this Philistine, this uncircumcised, uncovenant with God, doesn't know God, Philistine, who defies the armies of the living God? That's what he said. He said, who is this guy that doesn't even know God trying to kill all of you who do know God? And he says, I know God. I have a covenant with Him. And the same God that delivered me from the bear, that delivered me from the lion, is going to help me cut the head off of this giant. He knew God. He didn't trickle himself into that battle. and biting his nails into that battle, the Bible says he saw the giant and took off running. Oh, I got chills. Glory to God. Staring hell right in the face. When your family looks like it's going under, when your finances look like it's going under, when the doctor's report, stand in your ground, look in hell right in the eyes and say, it will come to pass for me. This will pass. I will be better. I'm going over financially. My family will serve God. My business will thrive. Customers will come. Glory to God. All those things. Staring hell in the face, not backing down, not being fearful, but taking it head on. If you know God, that's what you'll do. If you know God, that's what you do. So if you can say, Pastor Mike, boy, I'm not there. I'm not there. When things come, they rock me. I mean, I'd see it. Some of the minorest things can just totally just steal people's joy. That's not picking on people. It's just a sign you need to know God more.
Amen.
You see, Donald Trump's kids, when they can't pay their bills, which they probably can, but you know what I'm saying? If they couldn't, wouldn't be fretting why they know Dad. They know Dad. Dad's got this. Dad's got this. Glory to God. And so, in closing, what does that look like for you? Because you need to know so you can have faith. Well, knowing somebody comes with spending time with them. How long did we date? 8 years? You're probably thinking, what took you so long? I don't know. We've been married for 10. 18 years I've known her. I know her better than I know any person on the face of planet Earth. I mean, she don't have to say anything when she's mad at me. I just know. I just can tell. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? That unspoken thing that you just know from somebody. Well, what's the reason? For 18 years, day after day, I spent with her. How can I not know her? And some of you, this is the only time you spend with God. Can you imagine how well that would work in a dating relationship? Well, I'll spend an hour and a half with you on Sunday. Yeah. Let's see how well we get to know one another. Right? And some of you, this is your only time you spend with God. And when the trials come, you're shaken to the core because you don't know what's at your disposal. You don't know who you have in the boat with you. And so what you need to do for your homework to batten down the hatches, what areas do you need to know God more in? Are you not convinced of His goodness and His willingness to bless you all the time? If you're not convinced of that, that's the area you need to spend it. Get my book and read it and read it and read it, and you'll be convinced of His goodness.
Amen.
Are you not convinced when it comes to healing that God wants your body not just mended, not just feeling a little better, but completely restored and made whole, because that's what He wants for you. If you don't know that, that means you don't know God. And that's the area you ought to spend time with Him in, is healing scriptures. I am amazed. And I try not to have a really sarcastic, I'm a very sarcastic person at times, with humor. And I try not to have it sometimes when people are pouring their heart out to me. But people say, Pastor, I'm believing God for my healing. What scriptures are you standing on? Just hoping it happens. Not good enough. You're going to stay sick. Ouch. Ouch. Pastor, I'm believing God's going to turn my finances around. I'm believing God's going to turn this relationship around. I'm believing God's going to turn my family around, turn my business. What? You're in faith about this, right? Oh yeah. What's your foundation for your faith? What do you mean? What scriptures? Because the verses give you the foundation. The verses give you the right to be in faith about that.
Yeah.
What verses are you standing on? What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know? It doesn't just happen for hopers. It doesn't happen for the hopers. It doesn't happen for the moaners and the groaners and the complainers and the ones that are just tugging at the heartstrings of God. The children of Israel wept. They just came out of captivity and now they're weeping before God. He wanted them to be blessed more than anything. And tugging on His heartstrings didn't work. He needed them to be in faith. And people say all the time, I had no idea. Finances, if finances is your thing, and you don't know what God's take is on finances and what He wants for you, that shows you that's the area. Maybe healing, or you're upstairs, the plywood's already up in the upstairs, but you're downstairs, which is your finances. It's still wide open to the storm. You haven't prepared yet. Get in there and find out who He is and know Him. Praise the Lord. What areas do you need to know Him more? Take the time from this point on to become skillful in these things. And I'll just tell you this. It would do you good every single day for the rest of your life to meditate in faith and healing scriptures. Every single day for the rest of your life to look at some faith and healing scriptures. Because those are areas that people get tested. And finances can be combated through faith. Praise God. So, hallelujah. This isn't a message to point out how stupid we are. That wasn't my purpose, to point out how unknowledgeable you are about God. I don't know your knowledge level. I don't know your... Now, there might be people in here that know way more about God. If there is, there's a problem. I need to find out in spirit and know more than you, because that's... I should know more than you. That's my job, right? To be in the Word all the time. So I'm hoping I'm leading the pack. Well, there might be people that, just across from the aisle, you way know more what... know way more than you, and you know way more than them, or way less. That's not what we're trying to expose. I don't know. I'm not thinking of anybody and thinking, oh yeah, that's the moron I'm thinking about. That's the dummy that doesn't know anything. No, I'm not. We're trying to locate ourselves today to find out, what do we know about God? So when the storm hits, we have the knowledge that will give us the faith to get through that thing, because the storm is coming. You can't avoid the tests and trials, but you can avoid the defeat from the test or trial. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. We're so thankful for the Word. Thank You for our help, Father. Oh, You're so good to us. Lord, help us. Help us in these areas, Father God. Lord, I pray those Ephesian prayers for us all the time, that we would know, Father, that You would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You. Father, I'm going to pray that right now for everybody. That You would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You, Father. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of Your calling. That, Father, that we would know the riches of Your glory. Father, that we would know the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us, Father God. Father, that we would be filled with all the fullness of You. That we would be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the height, and the depth. And that we would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. And that we would be filled with You, Father God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father, to know these things. Enlighten us. May the words on the page jump off the page and strike a chord in our heart like never before. And Father, we will prep. We will prep. We know what the storm report is. It's coming. But Father, we don't have to be the ones washed away. We don't have to be the ones that have crumbled, Father. We thank You. We will stand. We thank You we'll be stronger. And we thank You we're going on to more with You. We're going on to glory, to glory, to glory. In Jesus' name. If I could ask everybody to close your eyes, please, and to bow your heads. Maybe you're here for the first time ever, or maybe you're newer to the church, or maybe you've been with us for years. Or maybe you're listening to us over the internet right now, and you can say, wow, I want an answer in the storm. When the tests come, maybe it's college, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's money, maybe it's financially, maybe it's physically. I want an answer in those things. I didn't know an answer existed. I thought that this was just life. That life happens and things happen, and you can't get past the fact that there's going to be heartaches and terrible things are going to happen, and life's going to be hard and it's going to be miserable, and that's just the way things go. Maybe you didn't know God wanted heaven on earth for you. Well, I'm here to tell you He does, and it all starts at the place of Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to have anybody come to the front. We're not going to have anybody stand up or say anything on your own. Nobody's looking around. But if you can say to yourself, if I were to die today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Oh man, that's a terrible place to be, because it's so simple. If someone gave you a free ticket, first class ticket, all expense paid trip to your favorite vacation spot, cost you nothing, would pay for your week of work to go, you would be foolish not to take it. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a free pass into heaven. It costs you nothing. I died on the cross for you. I rose again. I took your sin. All you have to do is believe in Me and receive Me, and you got a free pass to heaven. Hallelujah. If you're here and you can say, you know, I want that. But not only do you get a free pass to heaven, you'll now get a Father in Father God who will help you navigate through this life, help you when the storms come, give you answers that you never knew existed for these problems. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus and you want to know that you're going to heaven, if you want to start a new life with Him, heads are bowed. I'm asking nobody to look around. Nobody's eyes open. Everybody's heads bowed. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus, would you just raise your hand in the air and put it right back down? Anybody all want to receive Jesus here this morning? I see that hand. You can put it down. See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? If you didn't raise your hand, just lift your hand up in the air if you want to. We're not trying to embarrass you. But if something in your heart, say, I don't know, something in your heart saying, He's talking about you. You feel compelled to do this. You don't have to come become a member of this church. You, in fact, don't ever have to come here ever again. You don't have to give money for this. We're not going to announce it to the church after we're done praying. But if that's you and you feel compelled in your heart to receive Jesus, would you just lift your hand if you haven't already? Anybody else want to receive the Lord and know that their sins are forgiven and know that they're going to heaven? Would you just raise your hand high and put it right back down? Anybody at all? I see those hands. You can put them down. See, this is why I don't rush it. So you're just trying to draw this out. No, I'm trying to let people know that they're safe here. They're safe here. Lord loves you. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, this is for you. It doesn't matter what you've been told about how good you are, how much church you have to go to. No, it's all about if you believe in Jesus. Anybody else that has not raised their hand and you know that Lord is saying, that's you, just raise your hand and receive this. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus this morning that never has? Just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, we had a few hands. That doesn't mean that's all we had. Lord, there might be people that are just shy. Well, it's not raising your hand that gets you born again or saved. It's receiving Jesus. So if you raised your hand that you're saying, I believe in Jesus, I want this life with Him, it sounds pretty good, Pastor. Well, it's as good as it's really that good. It really is, and it's wonderful. And you can say, I want to receive Jesus. The only thing left for you to do is to call on His name or to ask Him into your heart. Now, don't worry. You're not going to do that on your own. You're not going to have to think up what to say or talk so the whole church can hear you. We're all going to pray with you. So if you raised your hand, say this after me, along with all the church. Let's say this. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I believe You died on the cross for my sins.
I believe You died on the cross for my sins.
I believe You rose again from the dead.
I believe You rose again from the dead.
And I ask You to come into my heart.
I ask You to come into my heart.
In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Thank you so much for coming. We had a good service today. We know what to do. Praise the Lord. And so have an awesome rest of the week. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. And we'll see you here Wednesday night. And then we'll see you back here next Sunday at 10. You are dismissed. Please go get your kids out of nursery if they're in there. Hallelujah.